FBI deputy.
Yeah. Yeah. And then her husband is over the investigation for the Hillary scandal.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
And meanwhile, Neera Tanden, a liberal activist close to the Clinton campaign, saying in a newly released email today from July in 2015, quote, do we actually know who told Hillary she could use a private email? And has that person been drawn and quartered?
Well, look, this brings us back full circle to where we started. The original question was, why does she have a private email? She said convenience. Obviously, that was ridiculous. She's carrying around a whole lot of devices. It was obvious she was hiding something. And think about it. She set it up in 2009 before becoming Secretary of State. So she anticipated having exchanges that she would not want anyone to see.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. It's a political Friday here on Jay Sekulow Live as we're just 11 days until November 8th, the election day. I think a lot of people are excited to get this election over and certainly to see the results. We've had many debates. We've had lots of discussion. We've had ups and downs, scandals. We've had leaks. We've had hacks. We've had documents uncovered. And now more information about that deputy FBI director's wife who received so much money from a Clinton ally who is currently the governor of Virginia, a former DNC chair, and the number one fundraiser for Bill Clinton, Terry McAuliffe. So I'll walk you through this timeline. This is pretty stunning, folks, when you just, it's a very simple timeline, but just to understand, on March 7th, 2015, he met with Andrew and Dr. Jill McCabe. Andrew was the FBI, is now the FBI deputy director who oversaw Hillary Clinton's email server investigation. So they met with Terry McAuliffe. The couple met with him. That same month, Ms. McCabe, who's a doctor, announced her candidacy to run. She had never run for political office before. This was in a Republican-controlled district for the last 14 election cycles. So this, again, it was an uphill battle and a bit shocking, but they were recruited by Terry McAuliffe. She was recruited by Terry McAuliffe, this Clinton ally, to run. Okay, so she announces in March. In June of 2015, now this is an off-year election in Virginia. It happened in 2015. In June of 2015, Hillary Clinton was the featured speaker at the PAC's fundraiser. So at Terry McAuliffe's PAC's fundraiser. That event raised $1 million. Now, the PAC's total budget is only about $4.5 million. So that's all it had. So this was definitely its single largest fundraising event. Now, what we know from the campaign finance reports, which are not always exact, but we know that then between that same month that Hillary Clinton was at that fundraiser in June, she's already under investigation at this point, folks, in October, that PAC, after having that $1 million Hillary Clinton fundraiser, donated nearly $500,000 of those dollars directly to the deputy director of the FBI's wife while he's overseeing the FBI investigation of Hillary Clinton. And just a month after that donation, he gets promoted all the way to deputy director, and then she loses big. I mean, she loses seven, 8 points in the election in November of 2015. And then a couple months later, her husband, after she loses the election, gets appointed to number two at the FBI. I want to take your calls on this and the election. 1-800-684-3110. An interesting question to pose to you. So we're hearing about this a lot, the silent Trump vote. Will you tell, and do you tell your friends, family, and coworkers that you're voting for Trump? Do you only tell your close friends? Do you tell people at church? Do you tell them at work? Or are you keeping it private? Call us 1-800-684-3110.
It's a tense and dangerous time around the world and right here in the United States. Radical Islamic jihadists have launched a global war, determined to destroy America, to destroy Israel. The persecution of Christians around the globe is unprecedented. And here at home, there are growing threats to our own national security. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the American Center for Law and Justice, here at home and around the globe. And now you can stand with the ACLJ in the fight for freedom. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. As an ACLJ member, you can make a tremendous difference as we protect your religious and constitutional freedoms. Join now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. 989-2255 or go online at aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in the centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Let me make it clear for everybody out there. We already knew that Terry McAuliffe, the current governor of Virginia, former DNC chair and number one fundraiser for Bill Clinton during his presidential runs and time in office at the national level. He's a businessman, but now governor, also under FBI investigation, by the way, for foreign donations that may be illegal and work that he's done. But he is a close Clinton ally. We already knew that his PAC gave about almost $500,000 to the number two at FBI's wife when she ran as a Democrat for the state Senate in Virginia in a Republican district that was uphill, and she lost. She also got another $200,000 from the state Democratic Party, which, by the way, Terry McAuliffe, when you're the governor, you control that, your party's political apparatus in the state. So he controlled that. So nearly $1 million coming out of from Terry McAuliffe directly, this Clinton ally. But now we found out that the same month these donations started flowing in to her, her name was Jill McCabe. This is the deputy director of the FBI's wife. The same month the donations started flowing in is the same month that Hillary Clinton appeared at a fundraiser for this very PAC and by to the person overseeing her email investigation. Now, when it started, he was the head of the FBI DC Bureau. What did that mean? He was providing the staff. So he was already involved. By the end, towards the end of the FBI investigation, he was overseeing it directly as the number two at the FBI, which he was promoted to after his wife lost her election. And after Hillary Clinton did the single largest fundraiser for Terry McAuliffe's PAC, and half that money goes to the deputy director of the FBI's wife, who's overseeing the largest scandal Hillary Clinton personally. I'm not talking, not including Bill in this, former President Clinton. Hillary Clinton has been through, especially during her campaign. We'll take your calls on it, 1-800-684-3110. Logan, also, we've got a lot of people coming on Facebook and Periscope. I posed the question before we went to the break, but maybe you make it clear for folks, because I really want to do know about this silent Trump vote. And this is a great way to communicate it, whether by phone or Facebook, through the comments. You know, just tell us if you're letting people,
I got,
you know,
some comments for, yeah, sure. This is from Lawrence, says, I'm keeping it private, even within my Christian family, because I'm not sure what they're going to do. This came up. We don't talk about who we're voting for. We talk about the issue, especially my family. Hate to say it, but I'm keeping silent. That's obviously these, wow, multiple different people. And so a lot of people are really saying, I did find one person, I did finally put a sticker on my car. So, you know, a couple days out.
You know, this is interesting. I want to go to Than on this. To me, Than, this is not a great sign for our political process. Our dialogue, I get when people say, you know, we want to talk issues. That's what we do on our show. You know, but we also are legally prohibited from endorsing candidates on this broadcast. I want to make that clear to everybody. We have to be very careful, especially leading up to Election Day. There's lots of groups that would like to try and get our tax-exempt status revoked, and the broad, many of the stations that we're on that are Christian radio stations, not the conservative talk, but the Christian radio, that are also non-for-profit stations that also could have issues. So we're careful, but we certainly, we get right to the heart of the issues. And Than, when people are afraid to talk to their own family members about who they're voting for, One, it does mean that the polls could be way off. But number two, it just, to me, it's just it's unfortunate about the state of our country that we can't say who we're voting for without fear from the reactions of others.
Yeah, Jordan, I fully agree with you. I think the ideal for both America as a way of government and for both parties, frankly, is that you can support a candidate with enthusiasm, without fear, without embarrassment. But I would suggest to you that this is actually a case on both sides of the aisle this year. First of all, I fully accept, and I've experienced a lot of what Logan was just reading, that there is a large amount of Trump support who is not willing to admit it to a pollster or to their family and friends. But I would tell you, Jordan, I think a similar phenomena exists on the side of Hillary Clinton as well. And ironically, I think it exists on the right. I think there are many on the right who are not willing to support Donald Trump this year and are secretly going to vote for Hillary Clinton or not willing to admit that. So the question, in a couple of weeks here is, which segment is larger? And is it larger to the extent that it will make up 2-4% in the polls? Because in the states that matter, that appears to be the margin that Donald Trump needs.
People joining our, whether it's Facebook, Periscope, and the radio show as well, what we're talking about right now, the Friday political day. We only got 11 days left of this kind of coverage.
Oh, wow. That's nuts.
But it's still at a point where
I don't know what to talk about.
It's hard to get people to tell you. I mean, we were just in a meeting. This is interesting. I'm not pointing any fingers out here. Of our production team, there were four or five of us at the table, and no one was real clear on who they voted for, even amongst us. And some of us, and I will tell everybody right now, I have not yet voted. I will vote early in the state where we're able to, but I haven't done it yet. And so I haven't fully made my decision. I haven't actually cast the ballot. But people are not real, I'd say, gung-ho about it at this point. So we want to ask our listeners, because this is an easier way to communicate it to us. You know, it's easy to call on the radio and rant about how much you love Donald Trump. But it's different to say, to tell your coworkers and people at church. And even now we're hearing, Logan, that people are not even telling their close family members. And that, I think, that was
right.
A jump I wasn't even
one person said they weren't even going to tell any of their family members. Yeah. They just kind of talked about the issue.
But let's ask people the question.
All right, Leah, again, people, what we want to know. How many of you guys, because there is that whole Brexit thought, the silent majority thought.
Big story out today.
Big story that potentially there is a big push for Trump supporters who are not out there vocally. And they're not out there supporting. Even if a pollster calls you, you may not say you're voting for Trump. If you're one of those people, let us know. You don't have to give us your full name on the radio. You can give us a fake name. I don't care. Call in. Let us know. Phone lines are jammed. We're going to get it, though. And also comments on Facebook and Periscope. We're a little bit of a safe space here, right? Facebook's all private information. You can find it in your Facebook comments. Let us know what you think, too, on Facebook.com/JSecular or tweet us. And we'll get to those comments as they come in. A lot of people have called in, though, and maybe we should jump on some of those.
Folks, 1-800-684-3110, also on Facebook and Periscope. We'll talk about this latest scandal, but let's take a phone call.
Yeah, let's go to line six. Let's go to Martha in Winter Park, Florida. Beautiful Winter Park, one of my favorite places in the world. She's on the air and a little bit different. The opposite of kind of how a lot of these comments are coming through.
Well,
so happy
good.
To hear it.
And Martha, let me ask you first, because you're calling from such an important battleground state and an important, and let me explain. This is how involved I've been in these campaigns. That I-4 corridor in Florida. Yep. I know many of you are not necessarily from Florida, but if you've ever driven to Disney World, you've been on I-4, and you know that straight road, it goes all the way down. It goes with the turnpike. You can choose which one you'd like, whether you like to pay tolls and go a little faster, whether you don't want to pay tolls. But ultimately, you got to get on I-4. That is Central Florida. It's very key to the election because it's a little mix of Southern and it's a little mix of people who have moved from the Northeast or Midwest. So, Martha, let me ask you first, how do you feel, not you personally, but how do you feel if the election were held today based off who you're talking to, who would win Florida? And then go ahead with your comment.
I somehow very strongly feel that Hillary's going to win because of the media, because they love her. And so therefore, I don't like Trump, but I support him because I feel that he more stands with my values. And I did have a pollster call, and I refused to talk to them because I want to be a silent person that's not in those polls, because the more they, kind of pump, I guess everybody's different in how they hear polls and respond to them. But I think if he's seen as the underdog, then perhaps it will encourage more people to go out and vote. I don't know.
Now, are you telling your friends and family and coworkers that you're supporting Trump?
Everybody about all the sins.
So you've got no concerns about that. Now, Martha, what's interesting?
She said she doesn't like him.
But right. You're saying personally, I get that. I mean, I think that's one of the issues with both these candidates. The polls have certainly shown. I agree with these polls, by the way, that show that these are two of the more unlikable candidates. And remember, that includes people who are always Democrats and always Republicans. And so, yes, it's you're not going to have 100% likability, but you look at others, usually you can get to 60%. Even the 10% of people who may not necessarily vote for you will say, oh, you're fine. That's not the case here with either. And Hillary Clinton, same way. What's interesting, though, Martha, is that Florida, actually, the polls there have been pretty good for Donald Trump. That's one of the few swing states that have shown him always at least tied and more recently in the lead. I want to make this statement loud and clear today on this Friday that right now Donald Trump is right within striking distance. He has recovered in the last couple of days. I think Hillary Clinton is starting to get very damaged by these story after story, whether it's the leaks, whether it's the hacks, whether it's just the real information about this fundraising with the FBI deputy director's wife that is not coming from hacks or leaks, that is just coming from actual news accounts and looking at public fundraising reports, that now if Donald Trump in the last 24 hours, he stayed on pretty good message. And we're all glad that Mike Pence and everybody on that plane was safe. That was a scary few moments in the news. And for those of us who fly often, those kind of incidents, they happen. But that was pretty extreme. Everybody's okay there. But let me go to Than. Than, right now we're seeing in these last 50 seconds, polls, as usual, but tighten in a way that I think is starting to scare some of those Clinton supporters.
Well, and in places where Donald Trump needs it, Jordan, I mean, it's looking more and more likely he'll hold the Republican strongholds, although there's still some in question. He's looking stronger in the handful of battleground states that he has to win. Jordan, he's still looking for one or two surprises. He's going to need one or two surprises to get to 270. But I agree with you. He's in striking range. Now he has to decide where he can push it over the line.
All right, phone lines are open. If you want to get well, they're just gone, but they'll open up 1-800-684-3110. Or join us each and every day on social media. You get to interact with people, some like-minded, some not so like-minded. But it's a lot of fun over on Facebook and Periscope. Just search for Jay Sekulow or Facebook.com/Jay Sekulow. We're broadcasting there live right now. I'll be right back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it on dates. Radical Islamic jihadists have launched a global war. In confusion, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. And now you can stand with the ACLJ in the fight for freedom. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. As an ACLJ member, you can make a tremendous difference as we protect your religious and constitutional freedoms. Join now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or go online at aclj.org.
Here is kind of where the candidates are moving around. I keep harping on this on our show because people are saying, well, I don't like the polls. I don't trust the polls. I get that. I don't think you should base anything off the polls because we actually get the most important poll is November 8th. It's real. It's the election. But you can tell what's important to the candidates based on where they are. So you can learn a lot from that. They're spending the time and resources. They've got their campaign. I mean, Kellyanne Conway from Donald Trump's campaign, his campaign manager, is a pollster. That's her main job. So you can tell from where they're moving around, the candidates and their surrogates are, about what states they're concerned about, what states they believe are most close. So today, Donald Trump's in New Hampshire. New Hampshire has been a tougher state for Republicans in presidential elections the last couple of cycles. Before that, it's always a swing state. It's very important. Republicans need to carry it. There's also a very important Republican Senate race there where it's gotten the Senator Kelly Ayotte, who's been very good on many of the issues we're concerned about, had to distance herself. She made a statement saying Trump was a good, you know, representative for her kids, and then said maybe not. Now she's kind of backed away from Trump. Since she made that comment, she went from leading that race to now being behind to the current Democrat governor who's running against her for U.S. Senate. And so you've got Donald Trump in New Hampshire today. Hillary Clinton is where Martha, our last caller, is from. He's in Central Florida. She's in Central Florida. So is President Obama's in Orlando. Hillary Clinton is in Iowa. So again, you've got President Obama, who I think is probably her number one surrogate. I'd say Michelle Obama, number two. Hillary herself, I'd put it number three. And then Bill Clinton, then I'd say maybe Hillary Clinton. And you actually saw yesterday for the first time Hillary Clinton with Michelle Obama at a combined event. So they know that that is really she's actually driving out some big crowds because of the combination with Michelle Obama. Certainly President Obama, again, we were very critical of this administration. He can draw crowds still. He's the president of the United States. He goes into a place like Orlando today. He's going to have a lot of people. Hillary Clinton in Iowa. Than, what do you know, from that I see, that's pretty much the mainstream. No surprises there with those states, I'd say. New Hampshire, Iowa, Florida, that's where the candidates and their top surrogates are today. Those are not the surprising states that you were discussing during the break and previously in the show.
Well, it's what you would expect, Jordan, but here's the bottom line. The race to 270 for Donald Trump, if he wins all of the places where he is competitive right now, according to the polls, so you're talking about Florida, North Carolina, Ohio, Iowa, Nevada, if he wins all of those and the second congressional district of Maine, he gets to 266 electoral votes, still four votes short. So I would expect a few surprise states where you will see both Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton campaigning, states like New Hampshire, Colorado, Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania. Jordan, all five of those states are states where I would expect the Democrat to win. But if there is going to be a result that is favorable to Donald Trump, he is going to have to take one of those. So I would expect that both of them will appear in both those cases. And actually, I believe that both Hillary Clinton and Tim Kaine are going to make appearances in Pennsylvania. I think it's a clear indication that they believe if they hold Pennsylvania as they expect to, that she's going to be the next president.
All right, folks, let's get some comments on Facebook and Periscope.
A lot of people are asking about Obamacare and whether we think the Obamacare cost spiking and that being the news, if that's going to do anything to the election. That came from Paula, came from Jim. A lot of people on Periscope commenting on
that. I think it is one of the reasons why Donald Trump in the polls, even the poll that showed Trump, the ABC, I believe it's the ABC Washington Post poll or one of those, showed Donald Trump like down 12, and it was an outlier already. It's recorrected to only showing Trump down 6, and many of the other polls are showing it basically tied. Now, these are national polls. I don't put as much weight into those as I do state-specific polls because we know that there are swing states that will swing the election. This whole correction that I've seen in the last 24, 48 hours is, I think, number one, being driven by the increase in healthcare, so Obamacare specifically, and number two, the scandals plaguing Hillary Clinton. So here's the big number three, Trump staying on message and staying on point. Let's take a phone call.
All right, let's continue on. A lot of people have been holding for a while. Let's try Sadie in Boston. Sadie, there.
Hi. Yes, I am here.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to thank you for everything you're doing and for parading the facts. And I think it's what people are responding to. I have to really say we have a champion out there with Trump. This poor guy has been using his boxing gloves to fight absolutely everyone all around him. Sometimes I'm cautious, but I'm old enough to have gone through a generation where political correctness and what we said and how we said it was very, very important. Because it played a lot in your social life, and if you were invited in, I'm seeing the deterioration of the country that I love. And I have to stand up and be bold, and I encourage other people to do the same. It's not like it used to be. The political correctness is not working for us, so we have to stand up. Now, would I put a Trump sign in my yard? The answer is no.
See, this is interesting. I mean, I'm not calling anyone out. I don't have any political stickers on my car this election cycle. So I get you.
I only have Star Wars stickers on my car.
You just told us for about a minute and a half on a national radio broadcast how much bolder you are now, and you won't put a yard sign out. Sadie, that tells me, is that safety? A safety issue? Is that because you feel like it's such a divided country in the political correct? Is it you're concerned about what people might do to your yard or your house?
Yes, I am, because it's already happened up in Marblehead.
I get you. You're calling in from Boston, Massachusetts. This is a blue state territory, probably never real popular to put a Republican sign out. That being said, in a normal election, would you have been I'm not saying – I don't even know if you were a Romney voter. But did you have a Romney sign in your yard? And if you had political signs in your yards before, or were you always just a little concerned because you're in a kind of a blue state territory?
It's because I'm in a blue state territory, okay. And because my husband and I were more involved socially.
I got
but now
you.
That
so
we've gotten older and wiser.
Yeah, so but do you tell those friends that you're involved in socially now that you're voting for Trump, or are you still keeping that from them?
I am, because I don't wish to go into a controversy, but if I met
so
them on
the, this is the interesting point. See, I really appreciate your call and your honesty. You told us for about a minute and a half how important it is to speak out, but you're not telling anyone. And I'm not,
so you're saying that's wrong.
I don't have a yard sign in my yard. I don't have a sticker on my car. It's probably the first time in many election cycles I don't. And even if I did, I wouldn't tell you who it was for this, because we can't do that on our radio yep. broadcast. But I'm not being critical of you.
I'll
say,
give you
I appreciate
Jordan's tag
the honesty.
And go find his car.
But for Logan and Than, as we go into this first half hour break, just quickly, it's like people feel this boldness, but it's like a personal boldness. Easy to call into our radio show when no one sees their face, their last name, or their actual, but yet won't put it in their yard, won't tell their friends, won't talk to people about it.
And there's many calls about that, and I think we'll get to some of them here the full hour. First, tell them to carry the full hour. And then the second, go over to Facebook and Periscope. You can watch it there and interact, or you can go to ACLJ.org. All places live video and audio. You can see it. Sounds great. Or you can get it later on archived, the ACLJ app, JSEC Your Live podcast, or you can even watch it archived on the Apple TV or Roku app. Just search for ACLJ.
Then quickly, you're in Washington, D.C. You see a lot of Trump stickers around our office on Capitol Hill?
Yeah, I do not. I see a few Hillary Clinton signs, although I will tell you this, not as many in this neighborhood as I would typically expect.
All right, folks. See, again, I think it works both sides here. We're obviously going to get more calls from Trump's side or conservative talk and Christian talk. We'll take your phone call. Second half hour coming up, 1-800-684-3110. We'll break down the new Clinton scandal. Go to ACLJ.org.
It's a tense and dangerous time around the world and right here in the United States. And now you can stand with the ACLJ in the fight for freedom. This is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. As an ACLJ member, you can make a tremendous difference as we protect your religious and constitutional freedoms. Join now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or go online at aclj.org.
Secular Live. This is Jordan Secular. For our second half hour, we'll be taking lots of your phone calls. 11 days till Election Day. We'll find out who the next president of the United States is, Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. I feel fairly certain saying it'll be one of the two of them, barring some extreme event. But there's a new scandal plaguing Hillary Clinton. I want to go through this because for those of you just joining us or who maybe joined in the halfway through the broadcast, her head of the Democrat National Committee, the Democrat Party, and the former, he was the number one fundraiser for Bill Clinton during his presidential runs and his time in office. He has a PAC as a governor of Virginia, a PAC that makes political donations. That's not weird. All governors do, Republican, Democrat, it doesn't matter. And they do fundraisers. Again, not weird. And he had Hillary Clinton at one. And usually that wouldn't be that weird either, except for this. When he had Hillary Clinton there at a fundraiser in this was in June of 2015. She was already under FBI investigation for her email server and, you know, the classified information. We all know the story and the info now. So she's the featured speaker at a fundraiser that raises about $1 million. Now, a couple months before that fundraiser, Terry McAuliffe went to the deputy director of the FBI and his wife to ask them for his wife to run for a state Senate seat in a Republican-controlled district, one that's pretty heavily Republican, very difficult for a Democrat to win. That's just the facts. Then Hillary Clinton does this fundraiser, And at the time, this is the FBI director for Washington, D.C., the head of their D.C. bureau. He then, again, so Hillary Clinton does the fundraiser. That same month, the head of the FBI's D.C. office, who becomes the number two at the FBI overseeing the Hillary Clinton email investigation and the server investigation, receives from that fundraiser donations that end up totaling nearly $500,000 just from the PAC. And then the state Democrat Party, which is also controlled by Terry McAuliffe as the Democrat governor of Virginia, donates another couple $150,000 to the Virginia, this individual whose husband happens to be overseeing for the FBI Hillary Clinton's email server investigation. She loses the election in November. So in a pretty big way. I think it was not like a 6-7 point spread.
Right.
Next, 2 months later, her husband, after she loses, moves from being the FBI director in D.C. to the number two at the FBI. A big jump. And again, these are not coincidental. There's just no way. She was specifically recruited. She was not an active politician. Specifically recruited. They admitted to meeting with Terry McAuliffe at least once. Now, the FBI said, oh, but he wasn't involved in the campaign anymore, and he recused himself from Virginia activities. Than, here's the important part. The email investigation into the server had nothing to do with Virginia so much as it did Washington, D.C., which is technically separate, and also out in Colorado where the server was, and New York.
Well, and for the FBI to say that his promotion to the number two spot happened after the fact, so this is no big deal. It also happens against the backdrop of the quid pro quo that was offered. And, oh, by the way, that meeting from Bill Clinton on the back of the attorney general's airplane. All of these connections between the Clinton campaign, the State Department, and the FBI. Does anyone believe that it was really an accident that the FBI recommended no prosecution to the attorney general? If you believe that, I've got a bridge to sell you.
Now, folks, for our Facebook and Periscope audience, and this is cool, during this next break, we're going to play our dad's interview on Sean Hannity's television show last night, talking about Trump, talking about WikiLeaks. So you don't want to miss that if you do watch the show on Facebook or Periscope. But, Logan, just to set the stage, too, for we're reporting the news of the day, but also we're asking people questions, comments through Facebook, Periscope, and the phones.
That's right. A lot of comments are streaming in. Our phone lines are totally jammed right now, but if you can make it through, 1-800-684-3110. A lot of people still talking about whether they're silent or not, and majority of them seem to be like they are silent. So if you don't see a sign, I'd say don't lose hope either side that you're on. All right.
All right, folks, we'll be right back. Taking your comments, taking your questions. Election 2016, 11 days till Election Day. Make sure you're voting.
It's a tense and dangerous time around the world and right here in the United States. Radical Islamic jihadists have launched a global war, determined to destroy America, to destroy Israel. The persecution of Christians around the globe is unprecedented. And here at home, there are growing threats to our own national security. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. And now you can stand with the ACLJ in the fight for freedom. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. As an ACLJ member, you can make a tremendous difference as we protect your religious and constitutional freedoms. Join now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or go online at aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Oh,
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We're about to get to phones. We've got this new FBI, more revelations. Hillary Clinton was appearing at the fundraiser for Terry McAuliffe's super PAC, for his regular PAC that donated nearly $500,000 to the deputy director of the FBI's wife's state Senate campaign. By the way, that deputy director oversaw the Clinton investigation while he was getting his promotions through the Federal Bureau of Investigation. But I do want to point out, I think it's important today, we're talking, obviously, we're 11 days until the election day. This is crucial. There's many issues. The Supreme Court's in the balance. You've got these Obamacare increase cost increases that are anywhere from 20% in some states and some for some individuals up to over 100% for folks out in states like Arizona. So, again, I think that that is why the election today is so close. Things are changing in the last 24, 48 hours. The big question is, is Donald Trump able to stay on message? And what we're sensing today on the show is that while people, again, you can call into talk radio, and they're happy to do it through these Facebook discussions, most of you are telling, and I appreciate the honesty, that you're not telling your coworkers, you're not telling even your friends and your family necessarily, and you're a little concerned about how people may react. Because there's a big story out in Politico today that there's this giant silent Trump vote that's not going to register, that even if the pollster calls and you got that kind of privacy, you're concerned about who they may tell if you tell people. So there may be a...
Pollings were saying that Kerry was winning in a landslide. Same kind of thing. People weren't as enthused to publicly support W the second time around.
Maybe. I mean, this would be on a much greater scale because I don't think that was as controversial as Donald Trump, even though I think, you know, some of the issues there, I mean, I worked on that campaign for President Bush and in 2004, and it did not look good through the exit polls. But ultimately, it was a pretty easy victory for President Bush at the end of the day. Now, I do want to point out for all those who are very critical of Trump, and I don't like when he said, oh, I like to keep people in suspense. He's backed away from making those comments about the elections. I think the less rigged he talks about, the better. If he sees real issues on election day, he can handle it then and before everything is certified, which you have months to do. But there was, again, John Kerry and John Edwards would not concede the election. Even it was a pretty big loss, and they would not concede it. It took until the next day. That's pretty normal. That's why I think people are being a bit hypocritical, being too critical of Trump. But I want to take phone. We got a lot of people on the calls. I want to get to as many calls as we can these next two segments, and we'll comment as we go.
Let's go to Debbie on line 5 in Taos, Texas. Debbie, you're on the air.
Hi, Jordan. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, Debbie.
Hey, I get bullied at work. There's this girl that always, she said, if anybody in this office that supports Trump, I got a gun in my car. And y'all think
If someone said that to you at work, they could get fired. So now, Debbie, I don't know if they're a supervisor. I don't know where you work. I don't want to put too much on you having, but that's a pretty concerning statement about politics, I would say. Now they just kind of are making this statement. I'm not, again, that's, I get where you're coming from here, but you're Debbie's calling in from Dallas, Texas. This is a pretty Republican stronghold. You got a person making a comment like this threatening violence. This concerns me a bit, what may be coming after Election Day. I'm more concerned about the actual issues and who will be our president of the United States. But let me get Than and Logan's comment here. Logan, we'll go with you.
All right, yeah, I think you're right. You may be seeing some of that in some places. It is tough, but maybe not as harsh as Debbie is seeing it. I mean, we have a pretty open forum here. Yes, we don't publicly endorse, but people talk politics all day. It's how it is. I know there are people that work in our office that have voted for all, I'd say, 4 of the major candidates or 5 major candidates, whether that's Clinton, Trump, McMullen, all of them, Gary Johnson, Jill Stein. So we're pretty open with that here, and we don't really have that sort of situation. But I'm sure there are some places that you can report, though, to your supervisor if you're getting those kind of threats or issues. I know it can get heated, especially as social media does rile people up.
Than, what do you think?
Well, I would just say two things to Debbie. First of all, if there was an actual threat of violence, I would encourage Debbie to report that to law enforcement. That's not acceptable in American politics or really in any matter. But I would say this. This is why this conversation matters, Jordan, because let's say you're in a state like Pennsylvania where Hillary Clinton is pulling 5 points ahead, and maybe there is this silent support for Donald Trump. Let's say that makes up 4 of the 5 points. The additional 1% that Donald Trump needs, many of them, Jordan, are going to be dependent on whether or not they go to the polls, on whether or not they think Donald Trump or their preferred candidate can win. If they believe that state is over and that silent support never shows up in the polls, they are much more likely to stay home. So both of these candidates, they can say whatever they want about their soft support. But as we get closer and closer to Election Day, they both need that support to start showing up in the polls.
All right, folks, more phone calls. Let's go. Any Facebook Periscope comments we want to get to, Logan?
A lot of them are very similar. A lot of people just saying that this is the situation they're dealing with.
And I got to say, I would expect a little bit more boldness. They're very bold on Facebook, and they're very bold on their
phone. Well, I have to say, during that, it said Jordan stopped saying that Trump hasn't been staying on message. He has. Have you listened to them?
I said he's been on message for about 24, 48 hours.
Yeah.
I don't count Gettysburg. You know, in Gettysburg, he made six very important issues, but he destroyed that because he then said, I'm going to sue all these people, you know, after the election. Right. Which, by the way, the only people who bring lawsuits who are politicians after elections are the losers. And here's why. This is from a lawyer's perspective. Donald Trump, he's a litigious person. So he understands this. So don't say, oh, Jordan, you know this because you're lawyers and you lawyers. If you file civil lawsuits against people for allegations, you will then be subject to discovery yourself. No president of the United States would be dumb enough to do that. So when you talk like that, to me, it's like the rig thing. You're talking like a loser. And if you read Donald Trump's books, like Art of the Deal, he always talks about having this trap door, having a place to go if you think you're not going to succeed, so that it's not your loss. It's not your fault. That's what it feels like to me. And that's where he needs to stop being the business guy and start being the politician. I will say the last 24, 48 hours, he's been on message. He's been much stronger. The race is tightening. He has a real chance. But please, I mean, anybody who thinks he was been on message the 2 weeks before that, he's attacking people on Twitter at 3 a.m. That's all kind of ceased for now. Can he get through these next 11 days and keep it on track? That's a big question. No one knows that answer.
All right, let's go take a call. Let's take Chris in L.A. and Los Angeles. Obviously, not the most conservative area of the country, but a lot more conservatives than you think. Chris, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. So, yeah, I've actually got two things. I was actually trying to reach you guys the other morning, and my call dropped midway through my question. But sure. My two things were, one, I work in Hollywood in the entertainment industry for the major studio. You don't even want to mention it.
Yeah.
And then the second thing I wanted to bring
up was,
who
made Trump.
Do you use a biased website that helps educate voters? Because I think a lot of people are voting for more of an emotional place than an educated place, not just on the presidential candidates, but on anything and everything, whether it's propositions, laws, whatever.
Well, if you're talking nationally, there's a lot of sources I go to. Now, still, I mean, everybody's got kind of your biases on what issues you believe are important or not important. I'd say I know that there's voter guides still being put out by friends at like Faith and Freedom Coalition. Now, those are going to be issues, Chris, that kind of focus on faith voters, whether it's the life issue, but there's economic issues as well. For instance, you know, the trade issues and things like that, where it just has very simply, here's the issue, where's Clinton, where's Trump? And honestly, I don't think either one of those candidates would disagree with how that's positioned. So that's one. There's a lot of voter guides out there. Just be careful with it. Look who it's paid for. If it's paid for by a campaign, may not be clear. Now, in California, you brought up all those propositions. Got to do your own research there. That's a different kind of process. And I get, Logan, I mean, you work more in the entertainment side than I do. I get being in Hollywood. Listen, it was probably the company that he's talking about got contracted by the convention to produce a video. That's not so weird. I'm sure people have to do that. And many companies have things they don't like if you decide to work in that world.
Look, we run a media company here as part of our wing of what we do in the ACLJ. I know for a fact, it's very public and honest, that a lot of our guys, some of our crew guys, don't fully support 100% of what we talk about even here on the broadcast. That's not part of it. You hire the best people for the job when it comes to working in entertainment, and specifically when there's people that field is very limited for people that are crazy talented. So I understand Chris's situation. I work in LA quite often, and sometimes you just hope people understand your situations. I have the same situation with a lot of friends of mine who work in the major studios. He's right. They'll talk about their faith fairly openly, but they're not talking about politics.
Yeah, and I think
spirituality's okay.
Again, you can kind of get that in the word. I just, you know, these folks who are more, I don't think Chris was one of them. He said he's kind of become a Trump voter. But for those of you who are so supportive and you're very critical on show of any kind of criticism of Donald Trump, seems like there's not many of you who are telling all your friends, unless you're at a big Trump rally where everybody agrees with you. And that's a little different, too. That's what I just want to get to. I don't, by the way, same goes for Hillary Clinton. I just think that, honestly, I could ask all day. We're on conservative talk and Christian talk. We're not going to get a lot of Hillary Clinton strong supporters out there.
No.
But if you are, we'd certainly like to hear from you, because we're talking more about campaign strategies here. 1-800.
And are you out there publicly supporting her?
Yeah. 1-800-684-3110. Tell us, or on Facebook and Periscope. That's 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It's a tense and dangerous time around the world and right here in the United States. Radical Islamic jihadists have launched a global war, determined to destroy America, to destroy Israel. The persecution of Christians around the globe is unprecedented. And here at home, there are growing threats to our own national security. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. And now you can stand with the ACLJ in the fight for freedom. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. As an ACLJ member, you can make a tremendous difference as we protect your religious and constitutional freedoms. Join now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or go online at aclj.org.
Folks, very quickly for you, welcome back to Jay Sekulo Live, our final segment of the broadcast. We're going to take all the phone calls we can, your Facebook and Periscope comments. Let's walk through the latest Clinton scandal, though, because this is something, again, why the polls are so close right now, and I think changing. You see Hillary Clinton losing in some polls and Donald Trump gaining in polls. Still, anyone could win this race right now. I think more so than a week or two ago. I think Donald Trump has benefited greatly from the news about the Obamacare, the premium costs going up, and like this. We told you about the FBI deputy director's wife who received $500,000 to her campaign from the number one wife to run for the state Senate. She had never been a politician before. They met with each other. This FBI deputy director, Andrew McCabe, oversaw the end of the Clinton email server investigation. Okay, so his wife got all that money. We've talked about that before. Here's the new timeline, though. Hillary Clinton was directly involved. So in March of 2015, Governor McAuliffe, this Clinton friend and ally, he meets with the couple from the FBI. He was the director of the D.C. Bureau at the time, and his wife, who was going to be the candidate, recruit her to run. That same month, she announces her candidacy, and her husband, again, becomes the director of the FBI D.C. office. Hillary Clinton's already under investigation now for the email server. And by the way, the D.C. office was providing staff for that investigation because the D.C. office is where Hillary Clinton is one of her homes. Some of this information was there. The Secretary of State, the State Department's in Washington, D.C. I don't have to get much more into that. Okay, a couple months later in June of 2015, Hillary Clinton did a fundraiser for Terry McAuliffe's PAC. So they're both under FBI investigation at this point. So that raised $1 million. Wouldn't be so weird if this FBI deputy director's wife was involved. So again, they're politicians, they fundraise. But again, in June, that same month, the FEC reports show that the deputy director of the FBI, the number two, his wife starts receiving what ends up being a total of nearly $500,000 from the PAC. So all the money starts pouring in the same month Hillary Clinton was at the fundraiser for the woman who lost her race then in November of 2015. And then a couple months later, her husband, this all happens within about a year, all within 12 months, her husband goes from FBI and DC director, which is a big job, to number two, deputy director of the FBI. He then gets to close out the FBI's investigation into Hillary Clinton's email server. So now we know Clinton directly involved, not just an ally, but Hillary Clinton herself. This is why, one of the reasons why the polls are so close, that and the Obamacare increases. Now it's time for the phones.
Right, let's go on. Let's go to Raj. Hold on, 42 minutes. Raj, you're on the air.
Thank you. You've been so perceptive, and you've been so very intuitive in looking at those states which are borderline. But apart from those which are toss-up states, states which might be dark horses. Thank you, Jay, for pointing that out. And the importance of these two issues, both about all the Clinton emails and all her culpabilities in all these matters, and Kathy Shalega running for the United States Senate from Maryland was debating Chris Van Hollen. Both these issues came up.
Yep.
Both of them were skirted.
Well, and that's where this is why we're focused on it, Raj, is that there's not enough attention to what Hicks News. You may not see this as much. So CNN, they've all covered it. MSNBC has said the Clinton, I think it was Chuck Todd who hosts Meet the Press. He said then that the Clinton Foundation needs to be shut down.
Too. In cycle after cycle after cycle, we know that the number one issue in the forefront of voters' minds when they cast their ballot is pocketbook issues. So if I'm Donald Trump or if I'm advising Donald Trump as he goes through Michigan, Wisconsin, Ohio, Pennsylvania, especially states like that, Jordan, yes, I would talk about the Hillary Clinton scandals, but front and center every time I spoke would be about those Obamacare premium increases. Because if that undecided voter goes into the ballot box and the last thing they know is that their insurance premium doubled and Hillary Clinton supports going even further down that policy avenue, that's going to make an impact on that vote.
Yeah, and I get I saw some of the Facebook comments as well. People don't always love Chuck Todd. But the fact is that what I'm pointing out there is not to say he's a source of all information, is that he is also saying how bad the Clinton Foundation is. He is saying it needs to be shut down. On his broadcast on MSNBC. Yep. Let's play it.
Look, let me go to the bottom line. There is no way on any circumstance that the Clinton Foundation should be operating if she becomes president. I don't see how they keep that going.
All right. So, I mean, again, you have people who are definitely more to the left, definitely not the most mainstream they're not down the middle. They are the mainstream media. And they're making those comments as well. So it is coming up now. Did he do it on Meet the Press? No. On a radio broadcast. Will he say it on Meet the Press? We'll see. Let's go to the phone.
All right, let's continue on. Ron or Don, quickly in Riverside, California. You're on the air. An email hold a while.
Yeah, we got California's already been taken over. And you can't put a Trump sign in your front yard without getting some kind of retaliation.
I get you. You're calling in from another blue state where tougher any time to put up a Republican sign. But go ahead.
Well, I put a basket of deplorables in the front yard.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
Well, that means that all us people are voting for Trump.
No, what is the basket of deplorables? What does that look like? Like a Halloween display?
Yeah.
I got you.
Okay.
That's what I got anyway. It's a Halloween display with, you see these here
you get at the store.
Straw people and stuff
Halloween
like
store,
that.
Yes.
And then I got God Bless America.
Oh, that's funny.
That's good.
Very
Don.
Clever, Don. Thank you so much for calling.
And you said there's like indirect support. You saw like a Remember Benghazi sticker, things
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, more than I see.
They're definitely anti-Clinton, but they're not necessarily pro-Trump.
Right.
Let's take
a couple more. Let's go to Paul in Ohio. Thanks for holding about a half an hour. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, good. Quickly, run out of time.
I'm totally for Trump. I speak it. I talk it. I do get a lot of backlash for it. A lot of the people, I'm working down here in South Carolina, and a lot of the people here will not say who they're voting for, but I know that they'll tell me in private who they're voting for, and they're voting for Trump.
So you're in South Carolina. We had you in Paul in Ohio. Are you from Ohio? Or are you
here in South Carolina.
In South Carolina. And you're still concerned that people, even in a very red state like South Carolina, no one's talking about it.
Right.
It may be that, again, there's a huge groundswell, but it also may be that no one's talking about it because they're voting the other way. I mean, there's also some point.
Personally, I believe that this is going to be a lot different than everybody's predicting. I think Trump's going to win wholeheartedly.
I think it's possible. It's very possible. It's very possible. I'm not discounting that final call of the
day. Marlene in Arizona, you're on the air.
Marlene, let me ask you very quickly. Arizona, a very important battleground state. Your premiums could go up over 100% for Obamacare. If the election were held today, who do you think takes Arizona?
I think it's going to be Trump.
Okay.
But my comment is, I'm LDS.
Got it.
And a lot of my friends are going to vote for McMullen for moral reasons.
Yep.
Understand that.
But other friends are going to go with Trump because if you don't vote for Trump, it's a vote for Hillary.
Well, listen,
depends on the way you look at it.
Yeah. I mean, I will say this. Evan McMullen, who, again, has made Utah a battleground state. His wife was VP
running
candidate.
Mate.
Yeah, his running running mate was at Ann and our wedding.
Yeah.
And so, listen, I know them. I still question some of it, even though they're some of them are good friends. And we've talked about him, though. He's definitely made Utah in play. And I appreciate, Marlene, your phone call. We got more to talk about next week. 1-800-684-3110.
It's a tense and dangerous time around the world and right here in the United States. And now you can stand with the ACLJ in the fight for freedom. This is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. As an ACLJ member, you can make a tremendous difference as we protect your religious and constitutional freedoms. Join now, 1-877-989-2.org.